Good morning, Orville. Today is Monday, 29th of July, and right now it's partly cloudy on 29 degrees Celsius, and the weather forecast for today says overcast with the temperatures ranging of low of 28 to high of 33, with a heat index on 37 degrees Celsius. It's supposed to be breezy with winds from west at 10 to 20 kilometers per hour. For later on, they predict overcast with winds from west at 20 to 25 kilometers per hour. Morning humidity was on 69 and it will drop on 56% by noon. Moon is waning, gibbous, illuminated on 56%. And here's an excerpt from yesterday's open workshop, Designing and Methodologies for Community Participation in Planning and Development, in collaboration with members of Town Development Council and Lavenir de Roville Advisory Group at the Unity Pavilion in International Zone, where Mr. Aroma Revi, Director of Indian Institute of Human Settlement, says.
It's everybody's afternoon siesta time on a Sunday, so you know, it's wonderful that you've taken the time out from this, and it's raining outside and the sun is shining, so there's a rainbow coming up someplace. But I thought, you know, the cynicism is very real. I mean, we experienced it just a couple of hours ago, and also the conflict. But I think, I mean, you know, there's more gray hair in the room than black. You've been through this cycle a number of times here, so you've been through this place at least. In my own experience, I've seen it here in the early 80s, where things looked really bleak. And somebody from the outside could have written off this experiment, but you came back. Matikonda is there, the forest is outside here. So this is, I think, hopefully, a short hiatus. It's a difficult one. But, you know, Kitty and all of us have been trying to focus on the know-how of doing things. I think what I do for about 3 or 4 minutes is step back and sort of reaffirm the question of the know why, and the know why not from the inner work, because you're all masters of the inner work. I can't speak to that better than you can, but I think the world is changing very dramatically, and you might not be necessarily in touch with it because of all the challenges that we're facing here. And you know, I'll just share a small experience. Last Sunday, I was sitting in front of a beautiful small lake in Europe, which I guess people don't know. It's in Slovenia. It's in a place called Bled, where Tito used to come with 4 people. 3 other people were, you know, one was probably one of the leading climatologists in the world, one of the leading marine biologists, and the leading urbanists, and we were holding our heads. We were holding our heads because we just finished a week of bringing together about 300 of the world's top scientists together to put together the new climate change assessment that we produced. There's something called the IPCC, which produces these climate assessments. What's going to happen in the next 50 or 100 years? And we were very depressed. And we were very depressed because what's almost certain to happen is that we will have a 2-degree rise in the mean global temperature at the equator. Okay, I'm not going to go into the science very much, but this is almost certain to happen. What that means is, if there's a mean global temperature rise at the equator, it means over land the temperature rise will be 1.5 times. It means the average rise in a place like Oregon will be about 3 degrees. And at the poles, where the ice will melt, it might be 4.5 or 5. So this is certain to happen because of all the history of what we've done over the last 30 or 40 years. But that's not the real story. The real story is, if we continue in the way that the world is currently growing, you know, when Sri Aurobindo came to Pondicherry, they were about 1.5 billion people in the world, right? When we talk about, you know, the 100th anniversary of Auroville, there will be about 9 billion people in the world. We moved from a world that was empty of people when this yoga started to a world that's full of people. One of the big questions, of course, is why have so many people come to the world? And I said, that's an inner world question. But the reality is, having so many people in the world is not only changing our needs and our greed and such things, it's actually changing the Earth consciousness in very, very concrete ways. Right? So what is relatively clear to us is that 2 degrees is going to happen. We cannot stop. What might happen is 4 or 4.5 degrees. Okay, so this is, I mean, this is something that will be published in 3 or 4 months' time. So 4 degrees at the equator means 6 degrees over land. And if you're sitting in a city like Delhi or Bangalore, it means another 1.5 degrees, because cities create heat. That's 7.5 degrees. And I got together some of the top people in the world, there were 6 or 7 of us, and we looked at some of the largest cities in the world over the next 70 or 80 years. New York, London, Dar es Salaam, Durban, Bangalore, etc. And we found by the 2080s, the cities could not survive because the ecosystems collapsed. Now the reason I'm saying this in Oregon is because when I came in yesterday and I flew over the city for the first time I've ever seen it, the beautiful thing, of course, was this wonderful, you know, golden orb. It's like a small blob sitting in this island of green. You've been able to do something which is absolutely remarkable here. You actually have done something that we talk about, and that is that you have to basically heal the ecosystem. You have to heal the earth before you can heal the places in which people lived before that. Just the opposite way of which we built cities in the past. Because the world is empty. You could go and build something, you could draw resources, but you can't do that anymore. So you've done that right, but the city is not getting built. And if this city is not built, I can't talk to people across the world where I go, I work in five continents, and show them that another way is possible. So it's not only important for ourselves as individuals or the community, but seriously, a 6.5 degree rise means that our mean temperature is moving by 2.5 kilometers every year. And almost all species that we know, certainly plants and trees for sure, they cannot keep with that rate of migration towards the poles. We will see a world, in fact, I was talking to some of you, Chamaranda, I showed him the graph yesterday, and he used a word from, you know, Sanskrit. He said, it's a pralaya, this is the beginning of the end. It is the beginning of the end, we know it's the beginning of a new beginning. But it's a very different beginning to what we know. And you have the ability to change that here. You have the real ability to do that. But to do that, to my mind, over the next 5 years, we have to commit ourselves to at least 5 very simple things. The first thing is, you have to open your doors to more people who need to come here, both for their own inner work and for this thing to become critical. So I would say 5 years, 5,000 people. Yeah. If you can add 2,000 more people, which means 40 people, you know, a month, which is really difficult for your processes here and the politics of Oregon, which is not very simple. I mean, that is the underlying principle. People have to come here because it's only when the people come here that this will happen. Because as I was telling you, you know, what we do today into the atmosphere and the ocean systems will be felt 30 years later. What we've done just now cannot be altered for the next 30 years. We have to have a live example to show people in real terms how things can be different. If it takes you 30 years to build this city and get it running, that's the end of the earth system as we know it. Okay, something that has not happened for the last, you know, 10, 20, 30 million years. That is before the advent of, you know, this stupid mentality which represents, we represent in some ways. So that's the first thing. The people have to come. For the people to come here, unfortunately, because you happen to be in India, and India has laws, and there's a whole structure and process, and we've agreed in some ways that we don't want to be illegal. You have to have the land, because the land is the fundamental basis in which this happens. If that material reality is not there, it doesn't matter. The land has to be brought together. And I guess the obvious thing is, we've heard it. I mean, I'm not saying anything different. You know this. You've known this for 25 years. The land in the core part of the city has to be yours to do the yoga, not because of anything else. That's a symbolic part of it. And then beyond that, you have to have the structures that can make sure that the land use is organized to be able to make that possible. Because we know what we're doing in the center cannot be supported unless the ecosystems around that, the bioregion around that actually works. And more important, the transformation is only not only of ourselves here, the 5,000 people here. It is the transformation of this civilization that's absolutely central. I mean, my work is about the transforming of India. So if you do not engage with those 4 villages that are on your periphery and the 50 that are around that, nothing will change. That's part of the work, and I don't see that happening excepting in stray conversations here. It is central to your survival. Because actually, if you add the 5,000, I don't know how many people are here in the villages, 15,000?
30.
That's 35,000 of Oregonians. Okay, you don't think of it that way. You're talking about a reimagination. But that is what will change. And that is what has to change in one generation or less. That is a huge challenge. To be able, that's a challenge for education, for institutional engagement, etc. Because we have 3,500 years of hierarchy and every worst thing that you could think of in our system. It's all sitting here. It's waiting for you. And then, together, to transform that. So that's the second thing. The land is symbolic of that engagement. It is not only the nitty-gritty of, this is my place, I planted that, etc., etc. And of course, we know that, as I said, there's more grain room than otherwise. You know, the transition hasn't happened. Mother's still at work with it.
We're all going to die here. Fine? And we transition, this environmental transition, we've seen what has actually gone, has happened. We've transitioned from, you know, whatever it is, a laterite desert into what we have here. The city is only, as we say, it's a transitory being itself. Do not look at it as something that is full and formed. It's just something, it's a vehicle to enable something to happen. So if we lock onto it as if it was the only thing and the only symbol, I think we miss the point. And the reason I'm saying that is, I think there is an understanding here that we are building forever. There is no forever in this rapidly changing world. We have 80 years to make this transition. And you people probably have 10 or 15 to make that. So the first thing was a people, the second thing is a land. And then the really difficult discussions that we're not having necessarily in the room. The first thing, of course, is about money. Mother talked about two great asuras who had to be transformed. This is the place in which they would be transformed. Money and the power that underpins it is a central question.
Money.
The economic question, money. Money.
And
power. The Lord of the Nations. What is this all about? Why are we all here?
Money and power.
Exactly. The discussion that we're having here is about political power. You are creating a new form of organization and governance as we talk. And there are so many different positions that I can see, you know, people getting worried about certain things because we come from a whole range of cultural and other processes. But we have to rebuild a new form of organization here. You know, as a social scientist, I would talk about power and politics. I mean, it's the same thing, but we have to find new ways and means of doing that. So the real fundamental operational challenge, and if, you know, I'm not saying something different, is to build up the governance framework for this. You have to write a constitution for yourself. Mother's written the preamble. But article by article, it has to be actually worked out. It took India 3 years and some of the most remarkable people to build its own constitution. I've been working with the Nepalese, they've been trying to do that for 5 years, they haven't managed it. Or it will probably be much more difficult. Because, you know, you have all the problems of the world you brought here. But that needs to get done, because unless you address that, what we're dealing with here, Lavanya and otherwise, does not have a basis to exist. So when we're talking about, does it have a basis, how is it going to be structured, that's all a question of governance. You need to have that, start having those conversations now, and start bringing people who understand those processes very centrally. Because, you know, it's around that we're going to base itself out. It's not a new democracy, it's, you know, whatever it is. There are new things that are being tried here, and they're fundamentally new. We must recognize that. And the second thing is the economy. You know, you are engaged with the real world, the economy. You know, the question of money, the question of maintenance and how that relates to it, you know, whatever it is, and why young people are working outside rather than inside, etc. It's a question of transforming the economy to try and work, make this work. And we've used type of ideas to try and make that happen. I think we have to be dramatically creative and different, and this is not easy. You'll have to bring the best experiences we have it in the world, plus your own experiences, to try and solve this problem. Very simply because I see a great risk in the fact that you could become very, very quickly, and we had this discussion today in the afternoon, you could become an extension or department of the government of India. In actual fact, legally, that's what you are. I'm going to speak, you know, very, very bluntly as far as that's concerned, which means, of course, if, and we talked hypothetically about this, if the government stops liking you very much, or somebody in the government stops liking you, they can actually shut all of it down. So what better time to do that than in the 50 years back? So if the economic process does not allow you to become autonomous, the city will not manifest itself. It's part of the challenge of doing that, of solving these two fundamental problems. And then, of course, unfortunately, in spite of the fact that we have all the cultures of the world, or many of them represented here, you've inherited India's greatest challenge, and that is of implementation. Right? I mean, in spite of everything, we have the Swiss and the French, and I can hear so many accents here, but you're stuck in implementation. This is India's greatest challenge. We've given up the material, we're trying to make a change. Sorry, I'm speaking like an Indian too fast. So the challenge is of implementation, of making things happen in the real world in very concrete ways. Your environment has really constrained you in the way that it happens, and you will see, as you change here, things will change on the outside. It will actually work, you know, like a jugalbandi back and forth. So these five things, 5,000 people, getting the land into place, trying to start sorting out the governance problem, trying to build a new economy, and finally making sure that this happens. This is about a material realization. That's why we're here. I mean, you know, we can talk about nice things, but that's very interesting. It doesn't go anywhere. That's what the world has been doing. That's why we went on a tube. So there is a tremendous opportunity here in what I see as a deep existential crisis. And, you know, I guess in 3 or 4 years' time, if we find more black hair than gray hair in the room, I think we've been making progress in the right direction.
Thank you.
And the interaction with the community continues this morning from 9:30 to noon in Town Hall Conference Room with a presentation about Town Development Council development studies and work in progress. And the meetings, open platforms and interaction with the members of the community are continuing, so we can participate on Friday 2nd of August at 4 p.m. at Unity Pavilion in International Zone to the next open platform meeting with agenda. First, report from Task Force on simplifying the entry process, second, relationship between housing and entry process, and third, the way ahead, opening a new range of possibilities for people to build affordable houses according to their means and their creativities. Aurovillians and newcomers are kindly asked to come, but members of L'Avenir, Forest Housing and Entry Group are specially invited. Then on Monday, 5th of August at 4:30 p.m. at Unity Pavilion in International Zone again, we are invited to a general meeting to discuss the selection of the Matrimandir executives. The meeting is called by the Working Committee and the agenda is following. First, update from Working Committee. Second, why call this meeting, also from Working Committee. And third, explanation of current Matrimandir executive selection process and about Matrimandir executive. And fourth, questions. Tomorrow, Orville Troodros invites all lovers of poesy or poets themselves to join them at 6 p.m. at the Dreamers Cafe at Visitor Center to an evening of poetry and music. Poems will be read in English, Spanish, French, in Arabic and Tamil and Russian, and maybe more. They also say that they meet every month just for sharing and enjoying. And here's an invitation to Oroville's Ministries in Action, where Gallery Square Circle presents Emergence of on an exhibition of art workshop by Mada Bambu Menon with inauguration on August 1st at 4:30 p.m. The gallery itself is open daily from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. with exception of Sundays and national holidays. All Indian nationals who are interested in getting their unique identity number, Aadhaar, card can now apply in Pondicherry. The details are followed. You can download an enrollment application form at webpage, which you can find also here on the Read More. You can go to Common Service Center on Krishnanagar Main Road, opposite of Tilai Apartments in Krishnanagar in Lospet. Once you have produced the necessary papers, they will call you separately for a photo and biometric session. And after a month, you can collect your card, other number, at the same place. At Savitri Bhavan today at 6:30 p.m., they will screen meditation on Savitri Book 1, the Book of the Beginnings, Canto 4, The Secret Knowledge Part 2. The French Pavilion presents on Thursday, 1st of August, at Cinema Paradiso in Town Hall at 5 p.m., Pierre Rabhi, filmed by Marie-Dominique Delsing, and is presently shown in the movie theaters in France, and the movie is only in French without subtitles. At Cinema Paradiso in Town Hall tonight at 7:30 p.m. we can see an Indian drama, The Mask, which was made in India 2012 by director Miskin. And tomorrow they will screen at 8 p.m. an Italian romance drama, La Finestra di Fronte, Facing Windows, which was made in Italy, in Turkey, Portugal and UK in 2003 by writer and director Fezzan Özepet. And on Wednesday we can see an interesting documentary, Craigslist Joe, which was made in USA in 2012 by director Joseph Garner. In the words of the Mother, Volume 14, we read, "The true purpose of life, to live for the divine or to live for the true, or at least to live for one soul, and the true sincerity to live for the divine without expecting any benefits from him in return." Thank you for listening to us, and you can contact us on ourradio.org.